You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I'm so excited to be talking about influencer marketing and the software as a service world, and of course, SEO. So thank you so much for joining us today, Anton.
Oh, very nice to be with you, and thank you for having me.
So tell me about the company you work for and your role within that organization.
A company called, this is a good question. A company called Semrush. We just had a rebranding, the hugest rebranding I've ever seen. And it used to be Semrush and Semrush, both versions. And usually North Americans said Semrush because SEO, SEM, and European and the rest says Semrush.
But interesting. Because I always say Semrush.
Exactly, because you're from North America, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've done a short video about asking people how do they do it. About two months ago, we had a rebranding, big rebranding, see the new logo and everything. And now it's officially Semrush. It's not Semrush anymore. And the reason behind it, I can only guess, but reason behind it, it's an international company. And for example, we, in English, you say SEO, but in Russian, Spanish, or many other languages probably, but I don't speak, I only speak Russian, English, and Spanish. So it's SEO.
Okay.
So, and try to cover, we international, North America is still the biggest market and the most important market for us. Okay. Absolutely true, but still Latin America, Spanish market, and French. I don't know how to pronounce SEO in French, but it's SEO. So we eventually decided it's Semrush. Yeah. So I represent Semrush today, not Semrush. So it's Semrush, and Semrush is a reasonably old company. It's funny enough. It's 11 years old, and for all this. SaaS companies, it's so most of them are startups, 1 year, 2 years, most of them, they don't survive. So Semrush did survive. Semrush actually were doing profit every single year, funny enough. Yeah, even I'm not financial part of it. So Semrush produced a tool, and I probably should say this is a SEO tool. It's not only a SEO tool, it's a PPC tool, content marketing, and everything. So all together, it's about 50 different tools, smaller or bigger. But SEO, our major part, so we concentrate on SEO. And most of the people, they historically think who's in SEO. They historically think about Semrush as SEO tool, keyword research tool, because it was the first what Semrush came on the market with keyword research.
And what I love about you is we actually encourage people to use your certificate program. So you have a quiz online and a way to get an SEM or Semrush certificate that you can put on your LinkedIn and put on your resume that shows you know SEO.
Yeah, we do have Academy. Yeah.
No, it's very cool. You're probably the first, and what I'm aware of, only Academy for SEO and certificate program for SEO in the world.
I'm not sure. I'm not particular. I know there are different academies. HubSpot has academy, but HubSpot is not SEO. It's inbound marketing. So slightly different things.
So what I want to know is, you're a SaaS company. You sell business to business. Why do you have an influencer division? What's the point?
I usually say, correct question has 70% of the answer, so I don't even know where to start, because I think influencer marketing is the one of the most powerful tool, business to business or business to finish users. It doesn't really matter. I think it's very extremely important as reasonably easy to execute. I mean, easy. If you sell in Nike or something, you're probably, Cristiano Ronaldo or someone else. Obviously, we are a big company, but it's still niche. Digital marketing and SEO is a niche. So we go to our, so people do we go to influencers, so people who've been doing this SEO for ages, even it probably didn't exist before 95 or something, before Google, didn't exist before Google, realistically. So most of those people, they establish themselves, and people usually, they listen to what they said. And in this industry, if you want to grow up as SEO expert, it's not what you know, it's who do you know and who knows you. So, for example, people like you doing this podcast, you probably can make or break someone.
And so when I think of SEO and like people that people admire and look to, you think of like Neil Patel, you think of Rand Fishkin with his crazy mustache, right? You think of these people who are kind of like out there talking about SEO.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. Even I would never ever put those two on the same phrase. I think Neil Patel, he's business genius, but his SEO advice is, well, put it this way, questionable at least. Yeah, Rand Fishkin is fantastic, but Rand Fishkin is not SEO either. Rand Fishkin is marketer. So when he was with Moose, so his part was not really bringing SEO, but bringing marketing of Moose itself, and it was fantastic. Yeah. I think Moose is struggling today because of. They don't have Rand with them.
They lost the mighty mustache.
Yeah, it's true.
So who would you look to these days as far as like what you read or books or podcasts or newsletters for SEO? Who would be an influence in that world?
Well, there are plenty of SEO. You can go, for example, we're doing a lot of webinars. You go to our webinar page and probably you look at, and it's all, most of these people, they very well know. It depends what kind of SEO. You're talking about local SEO, which is extremely important, and probably would be Greg Sterling, Jo Hawkins. She's from Canada, by the way. And Greg Gifford, and many, many others. Where you go to international SEO, and I probably would think about Aleida Solis. SEO, you go to technical SEO, and there are particular guys who are very, very good in technical SEO.
And then would you, you've got local, international, technical, and then would you call offsite SEO? Would you consider that another world as well? People are good at figuring out like backlinks and the PR, like getting you articles and...
This is a really good point. If we think a link building is part of SEO, and PR as a link building, for example, link building exercise, which I think it is. Yeah, sure. We definitely have people who are very good at it, because the problem with link building, problem with all SEO, there is, we know this, white hat SEO, black hat SEO, and fantastically big gray hat, where you mix everything up. When I said black, it's nothing illegal. It's against Google's rules. So against company, big but still private company rules. Yeah. So some company like Semrush, we are whiter than white. So we don't do black we think it's just too risky. But it might be still effective. Some people they do it. We just don't approve it. Link building is traditionally black hat things.
Okay.
Saying it, we do have white one, which is PR based. So we have plenty of clients, our clients, agency usually, they come into us and say, okay, could you get me this data? This data. They think about this would be interesting. So we bring them, okay, not to everyone, but to our influencers, by the way. We give them this data because we have enormous amount of raw data, not as much as Google itself, but a lot of raw data. So we get them raw data. They say, pick this raw data, maybe tweak it a little bit using their own data scientists. And after that, they go to news like you, like BBC or, I don't know, CNN. And they say, look, guys, we have this data. So, for example, all these things in politics, in American politics, and you can see how, even during the inauguration itself, people start looking for, I forgot what the
Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
The guy with the gloves? Yeah.
No, okay, but Judy, yes, it is as well. But remember the poet? They were Polish.
She was amazing. Yeah.
She was amazing. And people didn't know anything. Most of the people didn't know anything about her. And people start immediately search for her name. And it was a real peak in a mostly Google a search for her name. This kind of data, usually journalists, like you, that they're very interested. Obviously, I brought you this data. You made your blog, and you lead it back to me. So how it works, isn't it?
That's incredible. So those that are still kind of trying to understand SEO, how would you give a definition to black hat? Like, what does that look like? What are people doing? And what does white hat look like? Those that don't understand.
Okay, generally speaking, black hat is what Google doesn't approve as a company. So which is not illegal. So for example, if we're doing things, me and you, and I said, look, I need a link from you.
Yeah.
Can I give you material and pay you for that? You print, for example, some articles, or they call it guest post. Guest post, not necessarily is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because you might be interested in what I'm thinking. You might think it's good for your audience, and that's fine. It's not, no. But if it's done exclusively for a link, so we print some kind of whatever bullshit, maybe not that bullshit, but just post, and after that you have a link back to me, and I pay you money. This is a black hat. Another thing, black hat, which is much more sophisticated, when people just making sites which has all kind of robotic sites. There is nothing. People don't read it. There is nothing to read. All this content is horrible. But they use those sites to link to real sites.
Yeah, man. So when you go to your website and someone's like, I mean, I don't want to hire an SEO person. I want to do it myself. What do they get from going to your site? Like, what does the report say, and what can they do with that report?
Yeah, as I said, it's about 50 tools and, I don't know, half the 150 reports. So, for example, today we were talking to our developers. They just released a report, which is markup report. It's about schemas, all these markup things. The most popular, by far, the most popular tool is site audit.
Okay.
Site audit. So, for example, you're not SEO. You have your site. Well, it's not huge, probably, because you don't think if you're not professional, you need a huge site. So you put the link in a SEMrush site audit. And site audit go through this. It might take time, obviously, if it's and gives you some first gives you mistakes. It's horrible or dangerous mistake, and after that some warnings, and after that some comments. So, and you go through that, and some of them very easy to fix, some broken links and everything, but some of them not that easy to fix if you don't know what. I'm not SEO myself, for example, so it's difficult to fix, but because you know what kind of problem you have, it would be much easier for you to hire an SEO, for example, freelance SEO, because you know what he should be concentrated. And if he would be telling you some kind of fishy things, you think, nah, come on. But always you do need some kind of understanding, because sometimes system gives you, okay, 20,000 errors, very similar, and you look at it and say, yeah, this is not really important. You can spend 20,000 hours and fix, and you would maybe you get one position in the rank, which probably it's not worth it.
So when you look at kind of your peers that are doing what you do, you mentioned Moz, like we got Ahrefs, SEO Site Checkup. How would you compare it? Kind of like you stand out amongst all the others that are out there.
it's difficult to say. We officially the biggest one in terms of paying clients.
Okay. So this biggest, is biggest in the world. In the world.
Yeah, it is in the world. Yeah, it's officially. We also. We had a very difficult and big race with Ahrefs, but now I can say our database, for example, backlink data, historically, we were behind in Luckin Ahrefs, but we have bigger database right now and much bigger database in keywords.
Okay.
So, and we also have, because we are a much bigger team, I have to admit, Ahrefs is a much smaller team. We have many more tools and more possibilities. I don't want to sell, I don't want to say we are the biggest and the best in the world and everything.
No, it's nice to compare,
I'm trying to stay with the data. We have biggest database in backlinks, even as historically it wasn't the case. And we have biggest database in keywords.
Yeah. So when you look at like a Moz or an SEO Site Checkup or a Screaming Frogs, they're probably just so small, you don't even look at them as competition really, or mostly the Ahrefs would be the other one.
Yeah, okay, obviously this market is moving all the time, so people find the angles or find particular tools which could make or break you. It's very important to look what your competitors are doing, of course. Moz used to be big company, lost a little bit. I don't want to say that they're not good, and that they're very good, but that they lost a little bit of touch. Maybe they don't think they want to increase.
So tell me about like the certificate program you have, which I think is amazing, because I think for years SEO has been kind of a, people don't understand it. It was like these wizards had this magic, right? And they would rub oil on people's websites, and that's how SEO worked. But I feel like your certificate program is the first of its kind, the only of its kind that I'm aware of. Like, are you looking to develop that, or is that something that you guys just kind of had on the side?
Obviously, it was developing. When I joined the company about 4 years ago, they just started. So academy just started.
Sorry, my bad. Sorry. I drank that wrong. Sorry. Oh, man. We'll have to edit that one.
Okay.
I'll ask again. You launched an academy program. I love it. I send people to it all the time and encourage people to do it. Tell me more about kind of the plans for that and kind of what you're seeing with that.
Okay, I'm not part of academy team. Yeah. When I joined the company, as was more than 4 years ago, academy just started like a couple of months. So I remember how it all started. And I think it was very clear and very good idea. But what you said is absolutely true. I still think SEO, I'm a former mathematician. Yeah? I graduate university as a mathematician. And for me, there are things clear, things which you can count and everything, and something which is slightly less. And SEO is still things which is, you have plenty. Okay. What is SEO actually? So it was a big company, Google. They created and they develop it every day. This algorithm, which has probably what, billion lines or 2 billion lines today, I don't know. When I was a student, I deal with Fortran. It was a long time ago. And my program was 5,000 lines. And I know even 5,000 lines, you can miss a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This Google is huge. It's 1 billion or maybe 2 billion today. Who knows? And there is not a single, even inside the Google, there is not a single person who knows everything. It's just absolutely impossible. So, but obviously, Google know mainly thing. Even they might have some kind of surprise inside the algorithm, but they don't tell you, because if they tell us, we will be able to manipulate.
Yeah,
how it was like 15 years ago. You remember Yahoo or original, not Google at the beginning, was easy to manipulate. You put a few links, or before that it was keyword stuffing and all this, and it worked. Yeah. So Google obviously want to predict that you're looking for something and you didn't find it because this guy is clever in inverted commas and bought more links or something. You want to buy an answer you're looking for. It's why Google survive and Google kill basically Yahoo and everyone else. It's how SEO works. But SEO is, so we try to guess what Google doing, would Google do it? And we use it everything we can. So, for example, we ask Google directly, and Google very often not giving you direct answer. As they give it, for example, it's very typical. We ask you about links and everything, and they say, we ask you Google about SEO. Google doesn't like SEO, word SEO. And Google will tell you, just just do it for your users. Do it for your users, and everything will be fine.
And we buy ads. Buy ads from us.
Yeah, okay, but this is different. Okay. They do ads, obviously. But what I'm saying about SEO is not about ads. So they said, okay, just do great content, do great user experience, and everything will be fine. And you know, it's not exactly like that. You still need to push things. You still need to, because people usually talk about algorithm Google, like about someone who is 4 years old, maybe today is 5 years old. Yeah. So, and always Google look and see in inverted commas your page, not like we see.
Even like the Panda one and BERT. Is that what you're talking about? The upgrades and the updates in the algorithm?
No, I'm not talking about updates. I'm talking about that you have to, because you have to make your page very visible for algorithms. So algorithm would understand what's page about. They would understand if there is a, for example, picture here, what this picture is all about. Because, for example, Google's still struggling to understand the picture itself. It needs all tag and everything. So, for example, you use a schema markup or different type of markups. Why? Because to explain algorithm, this part is this. So it makes Google understand and see the site easier. So this is part SEO is reasonably clear. We try just to, and Google usually very open saying, okay, you have to do this and this and that. But Google very close and say, what's the ranking factor?
Yeah, okay. And jumping to your role and kind of your expertise, when you talk about influencer partnerships, are you seeing mostly like conversions and attribution from like B2B partners who do like e-newsletters, or is it podcasts? Is it their website, their blogs? Where are you seeing the most traffic coming from influencers?
I think the most traffic, which is very, very difficult to impossible, I think would be direct traffic. Because if you look at the Google Analytics or any kind of analytics, you probably would see about 25% to 30% traffic is direct traffic. And for SEO, direct traffic, basically no one knows what it is. So direct traffic, if when someone just type, for example, semrush.com and go through, and you don't know where he came from. Also, part of direct traffic is your brand search traffic. So, for example, I'm lazy and I don't care. I don't want to type smrush.com. I put just smrush click. So it's search. Whereas branded search, so this is the same. This is absolutely the same. This is direct traffic. So if you look at direct traffic, it's a very, very big chunk of traffic because it's up to 1/3 of the traffic. What is it? Where it comes from? It's very easy from my point of view. This is my opinion. Pure my opinion. I think nowadays, 21st century, direct traffic is actually it's mouth to mouth. Basically, I told you, or you know. You know, yesterday I've seen fantastic program it's called Squadcast. Just check it, squadcast.com. So you go there, you check it, and this is direct traffic. It's why I told you. And so for
unless I got a coupon code that was like, you get a 6 month free trial, right? Like it's got to be a really big carrot because you know if someone heard this show, for example, go to SEM Rush and the notes in my podcast note. They're not going to click the notes. They're going to type it into their Google.
If they can't remember exactly, they probably will do a brand search. But it's exactly how it was. So for influencers, the main part is they're going around, they're going to conferences, they're talking to their own clients because most of them, they do have clients. And they use sometimes they do videos as well or doing webinars. And we don't really push people say to go and like sell SEO, say SEMrush fantastic. No, we're just very happy that we can see that they use a screenshot for their presentation and it's our screenshot.
Wow. How do you compensate them, or is it like an affiliate thing, or is it more like they're just partners?
Yeah, obviously there are affiliate program, and you don't have to be influencer to get in. You just have to have audience. With influencer themselves, we don't pay them. At least I don't know any influencer we would pay. How do we It's a partnership. Like, for example, we do have, okay, you have this program. We have up to three live webinars a week. Yeah. A webinar program. And we bring influencers there, and we kind of share our fame with influencers. Well, sometimes it's other way around. The influencer might be bigger than our webinar, which is nice for webinar. Yeah. So this is a thing. And more, as I said, for good influencer, we're very open to go an extra mile and, for example, collect data for influencer. We had recently featured snippets. In research, and basically influencer came to us and said, I want to do research on this. Could you get me that data? And we do have plenty of data, but still it takes a big effort and eventually it's kind of money. So we invest. So after that, influencer takes this research in doing, and he's got his fame and his visibility. We got our visibility and it works good for us. But when we work with influencers, the main thing is obviously we only want to work with influencers who loves our product.
Yes.
Because if someone doesn't like, if someone's like, oh, I prefer that, it doesn't work. We can pay, we can give some perks and everything. In my experience, it will never work. So I only want to work with people who value us, and we have enough influencers in the market who I'm in a very privileged position. If I would represent very small, obscure, non-famous, not known tool, it would be much more difficult. I probably have to go and pay people for trying it. I don't need to pay people for trying it. Usually we talk to influencers, and influencers say, "Well, I haven't tried really yet." I said, "Well, I'll give you 3 months free everything." And you don't owe me anything. It's not like I'm giving you account for 3 months and you have to go on Twitter and 30 times mention. No, we don't do that. We're in a privileged position. It's easier to be here, you know.
It's amazing. So trends, what are you going to see what are people going to be watching and looking out for this next year? What should they be keeping their eye out for trends-wise?
Okay. Look, all this COVID situation, what happened last year, probably will not go away very soon. So, for example, it is much more difficult now for companies. A lot of companies were doing live streams, webinars, but now absolutely everyone, probably during what we're doing now during this program, probably you can go put SEO live stream, probably fund, I don't know, 20 running right now. So it's very, very difficult to do now because people think, okay, now everyone's online, it would be easy. It's not easy. It's very difficult. So you have to you have to surprise people with something, and it would be not only content. I mean, not only what you're talking about, but I think show part would be very important, because obviously one thing is I'm watching 45 or 1 hour presentation. So someone is just talking. Yeah. And now we're going to sleep. And if it's more energy and more and so we're trying to, for example, trying to find different formats and everything.
That's cool.
So video thing is not going anywhere. Video thing is will be staying because internet is getting better in terms of, if you look at 3 years ago, most of the people they're watching it are on a 720 in YouTube, for example. Now most of the people watching is 1080 and everything. So it's going to be better, but you have to be inventive. If you're not, because obviously YouTube, look at YouTube. You want your video be watched on YouTube, but how many videos every day people uploading? Just more, probably during the year more than we have people around. So you always have to look at something special. I think, and I thought about this for 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 years, because you mentioned academia. It's very difficult to do educational video. Why? If it's something very simple, so for example, how to unlock this phone, or also, yeah, easy. Is if it's fun. But if it's complicated product like SEMrush product, yeah, or many other products, when they're bifurcation all the time, just normal video, you can't really do it. So it has to be done. It has to, and we have a tool. I don't know why people not doing it. Why we not doing it? We have a tool because if you look at the gaming platforms,
yeah,
if you create your educational video, not like just straight video, yeah, which is just only one line, okay, yeah, forward and back. But if you do it on a platform, so where you can go around, open different doors and everything. And I think this would be a future for educational videos. So who will do it first probably will get a lot of everything, a lot of money. So this is... Yeah, you can try to do it. Otherwise, e-commerce obviously yeah, big thing. We know a lot of companies just went bankrupt. Travel company, hotels, airlines, but Amazon made tremendous profit. So obviously, e-commerce is going to be very, very important.
Yeah.
But e-commerce, if you're not doing it right, so you're not selling anything because, okay, people cannot find you, or you have plenty of products which are on your side, but you don't have them on stock and all those things. So you make sure your online store is up to date and up to standard and everything. So e-commerce would be probably the things which you get money from.
So if people want to follow you or contact you after this and get more information about SEMrush and maybe trial it and you know, run their site through the audit tool, where do they go? How do they make this happen?
The easiest way probably go to LinkedIn or Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Facebook, yeah, Anton yeah, Schulke, everywhere, yeah, yeah. And I'm usually very open to do things. We do have things like we do have live audit webinar, so people yeah, can submit their own cool site. Experts will choose site and a live audit. And sometimes they find very, very big things. I remember yeah, Ross Tavendale, SEO from UK, he founded the guys who were actually migrating site, and they made really big mistake on migrating. Yeah. He founded during this webinar, when he was preparing to that webinar. Yeah. And he told them during the webinar, they change it and they get the traffic back.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I was gobsmacked. Yeah. It's yeah, not very often like this, but yeah, usually small things, they always find something.
Yeah. So SEMrush.com, but you got to pronounce it SEMrush.com, yeah, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I don't get, it's like the names, like even Ahrefs, I think people call it Ahrefs. It's everyone has complicated names. Except for Moz. Moz made it easy. There's a Moz.
Yeah, Moz made it easy, which is good. For rest, they try to associate with something. And obviously, what you mentioned, those companies are old companies. You can mention, I don't know, Majestic, even worse name, because Majestic is such a common word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's very common. Very common. Thank you for being on the show. This was amazing. Thank you for sharing some of the trends. I loved your list of people to follow, influencers to follow. They were people new to me as well. So we'll try to put the names of those people as well in the show notes.
It's very interesting. Sorry, can't help. When we have most of our audience are from United States, I'm talking audience for webinars, for example, live. But for every three people from United States, we have one Canadian, which is kind of very oversized. I don't know, because obviously the United States is much bigger than three times.
Our country, our population is the same size as California. Like one state is the same size as our entire country. So that's kind of, that math is interesting.
Yeah, I always were kind of surprised why we have so many Canadians. But yeah, we love Canada. We love Canada, obviously, for this reason, yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing. Thank you for being here. Let's continue the conversation. And thank you so much for those resources and ideas.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.